Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bryant, going to the basket. Kobe
yes.
Bryant!
There it is!
A 50-point game in his farewell. Final minute 30. Bryant from 14 has 53! Unbelievable stuff tonight. The Lakers down one. Will Kobe give them one last gamer? Bryant on the move with the jumper. He
oh, my!
58 points! And the Lakers lead!
I was thinking of some of my top moments of Kobe Bryant's career that I personally like. That is potentially number one. Scored 60 points in his final game in the NBA after the career that he had. You can consider him one of the top five, top 10 greatest players of all time. We're not going to sit here and rank them all today. But, you know, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, a living legend. Scored 60 in his final game in the NBA. That one is up there. The 81 points against Toronto is up there with 55 of those coming in the second half. But the one that I like, I think more than any others, is the one where he threw the alley-oop to Shaquille O'Neal in a Western Conference final, Game 7. Shaq dunked it home and then was running up the floor, like pointing at the ground. For some reason, that's the one that stands out to me with Kobe Bryant.
Mine was meaningless.
Yeah?
Mine was meaningless. I think you've heard me tell the story before. I'm sitting in Memphis at a Grizzlies game.
I haven't heard this.
I was obviously living in Little Rock, Memphis, couple-hour drive over there. I got a chance to go over and see Kobe play the Grizzlies. I say Kobe, Lakers, Grizzlies. I guess it's the close when I hear all the friends and family and people talk about Kobe and his ability to, when he walked in a room, you felt his presence there. You know, I mean, this is the closest I can remember or I guess relate to relative to Kobe is I was in the arena with watching the game.
Yeah.
Right. Had some pretty good seats. And it was almost like he was and Memphis was pretty good back then. It was Conley and Gasol, and I mean they had a good little squad, you know. Tony Allen, the real good defender was there, and Kobe did his thing on it. It was cool to watch him play or whatever. And with about 5 minutes left in the game, I don't remember exactly what the score was, but I just remember looking. We were sitting right across from Kobe's bench. And Kobe gets up off the bench. It was back when they had the snap pants deal. He takes off his top, boom, snaps them pants off, throws them down. And there's about 5 minutes left, and he goes in and annihilates Memphis for 5 minutes. And it was such a, like, give me the ball, get the hell out of the way. I'm going to get this dub so we can get back to the West Coast real quick. Like, literally, that's every time he dribbled the ball, that's what I felt like he was saying to Memphis. Like, y'all, come on, man, are y'all serious with this? I mean, it was just – it was just nasty. And I remember, I mean, I had great seats for, you know, when I was in Dallas. So early 2000s, for about 4 years, I had feet on the court seats for Mavs games and saw the greatest play. And I just don't ever remember seeing Kobe play at that point in time. So I'd seen the greats. But when that day in Memphis, I just felt what I hear people saying now they feel when they're around Kobe. I felt like I'm watching greatness. Like I'm watching an elite player in the most elite basketball world there is. And so for me, that memory of literally, I love the fact they still had the snaps down the side of the pants. You could yank them off.
That's
it's a little different deal than nowadays. But I take that back. I was at the game the other night, and I think Harden had on some snapaways.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he did. But nonetheless, man, that's my moment because I was there live and in person and got a chance to watch it. And I think we're really grasping for straws if we're going to try to pick one game when the dude, you know, just made a lasting memory on your life, I guess, watching basketball.
My buddy sent me this one. It was a tweet that apparently Kobe gave Spike Lee a little bit of a gift. He went to Madison Square Garden on February 2nd, 2009, scored 61 points in New York at Madison Square Garden, the Mecca you know, of sports entertainment, right. The Mecca at Madison Square Garden, scored 61 points, which at the time was a Madison Square Garden record. I'm not sure if it still is. It'd be interesting to know if it still is a record. Anyway, scored 61 points, Madison Square Garden record. And he autographed this for Spike Lee. He said, "To Spike, you are the best, Kobe 24. P.S. Spike, this S-word was your fault." And then Kobe Bryant, like, you're talking a little trash to Kobe, saying this was you talking the trash to me.
Yeah.
So I scored 61 on your team, and this is your fault because you opened your voice, you opened your mouth to talk a little trash, and because you're talking some trash to me, I set a record on your home floor.
Yes, that's one thing that I don't feel like that we appreciate. All right, let me speak for myself, that I don't appreciate the way that I probably should, was Kobe's ability to talk smack.
Oh, he could talk.
But it wasn't like a lot of dudes are blowing hot air.
Yeah. No, he meant everything he said.
Like Kobe's coming for your heart. Uh-huh. Like, he's trying to rip your throat out of your neck. Like, there was no smack talking is beautiful. Like, and like he was talking smack to Luka in Dallas, I guess probably in LA, but at that game, in whatever language Luka speaks. You know what I mean? It's just like, just that. Most guys can't do that and be cool with it. Most guys, it just comes off as a little, I don't know, it puts you off a little bit. It just, to think that some, when Kobe did it, it was like, y'all better look out. My man's fixing to take this thing to another level. So I don't know that I appreciated his trash talking as much as I probably should have.
Yeah, Kobe was really good at the trash talking. I think he was so cerebral with it too. Like, he wasn't somebody who just constantly talked like Gary Payton,
yeah,
or Patrick,
yeah,
Beverly. Like, whenever he was poignant about his point, and whenever he said something, he was going to usually back up on it. And I think you had the good point earlier when you talked about the competitiveness that Kobe Bryant had. Kobe Bryant will go down, and that's why I wanted to ask that to Big Joe Klein. What is he going to remember? Like, what's the legacy? And he mentioned it too, how competitive Kobe Bryant was. And to me, there's not, you can't really rank, like, who's more competitive? Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. Like, you reach a level of competitiveness, which is the maximum amount.
Yeah.
And Kobe Bryant's in that.
Well, you, it's not a, like, when it's in your blood, man, it's like, I feel like this is one way that I feel like I can relate to Kobe. Like, from a competitive standpoint, is there's no, the whole, there's no off switch on a Tiger. I mean, that's Kobe Bryant. I think every professional athlete has that elite competitive gene in them. When I say that, I mean, like, you could be playing Tunk on the plane, and if you beat them 5 out of 5 hands, they are genuinely, deeply, inside their heart, they are hurt because they lost. It could be thumb wrestling. They are deeply hurt because they lost if they lose. So it's not about – It's easy to compete when the camera comes on and the sneakers are squeaking. It's easy to do that. But when you get into the weight room, are you competing and are you pushing guys?
Right.
When you're talking about nutrition with your body, are you doing things right and pushing guys, essentially competing with guys to eat cleaner and be healthier than other guys? I heard Wilbon talk this morning on one of the shows. Michael Wilbon had a heart attack. It was Super Bowl week. He had a heart attack. Not this week. This was back in his past. Michael Wilbon got to wherever the Super Bowl was. Monday of that Super Bowl week, he had a heart attack. Ended up missing the Super Bowl. Had a young son at the time. Kobe ended up reaching out to him. They ended up connecting somehow. And Kobe was getting in his ass about not being healthy.
Wow.
And about he needs to take care of his body. And he needs to be, you know, that. To me, that is the when I say competitive gene that I think it you have to have in order to get to the professional level of any sport, is you compete every day in practice with every drill, with showing up on time, with stretching, with everything that you do, and that's Kobe Bryant. To me, that's Kobe Bryant. I know Mike. Michael Jordan was, to me, I agree with Joe Klein. Michael Jordan's the best that ever played. When you talk about the way that he affected others with the whole Breakfast Club and the way that he, you know, he did things, some people will tell you that Kobe did the same things. I just think Mike's a little bit different. And Kobe, to me, is the one that I would rather fight Mike than fight Kobe. Kobe would rip your throat out of your neck. Like the competitor that Kobe is, I think he is the definition of competitor in the dictionary.
Yeah, I don't think there's many that really can be at that level. And you heard Klein talk about it. I mean, he was in the gym whenever he was 17 years old. That's one of the things that's hard to imagine now too, right? Is that Kobe 17 years old in the NBA. I know LeBron was straight out of high school too, but now they've gotten rid of that rule. It's a rule I wish they would put back in place actually. But how young he was whenever he joined the NBA. This was a young, I mean, he was still a teenager, 17.
Right?
Yeah, I believe he was the youngest at the time. I don't know if somebody else came after him that was younger, but 17, one of, if not the youngest to have ever done it. You have this boy, 17 years old.
Boy, he looked young,
he
too,
he started
man.
The All-Star game before he even started on the Lakers. He wasn't even starting on his own team, and he started the All-Star game. That's how popular Kobe Bryant was.
He was the youngest All-Star at 18.
Youngest All-Star.
I believe that's right. 18 was the age that I read this morning. I believe it was all. Anyway, nonetheless, you look back on those days in the dude. I mean, he was a kid.
He was a kid.
I mean, he really was. It's amazing, man.
We'll be joined by Elvin Hayes at 3:35. NBA Hall of Famer, one of the greatest 50 players of all time. We've been playing some clips around the basketball world, around the celebrity world of just people reminiscing or thinking back on Kobe Bryant. Here was Jay Williams of ESPN, of course, went to Duke, spent some time in the NBA. Jay Williams thinking back on Kobe Bryant.
I know everybody's coming out with their Kobe Bryant story, and that's fine. But he is just, he was one of the most special individuals I've ever met. And it wasn't just his on-the-court performance. It was who he wanted to be, how he held himself. And we're all prone to make mistakes. We all live this life. But his innate character, his being, his spirit was incredible. It was just incredible. And it's rare that I've been around a lot of people in my life. And you know, every time I was around him, if that was through the Players Tribune, if that was through as a player, if that was through random workouts, there's something so damn uplifting about him. It just made you want to be better in every aspect of your life because that's who he was. And that's the standard of excellence that he held himself to all the time. And today's a tough day.
You can hear the emotion in Jay Williams' voice and just how Kobe Bryant really inspired the way he carried himself just in his normal life. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. Tim Bonteps, who's an NBA writer for ESPN, covers the league, has gauged the reaction around the league after this news about as good as anybody. We talk to Tim next about what the NBA is feeling today next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Here comes Kobe. Less than five from way outside. Got it! Oh, man! The 2.1.
Kobe Bryant has it. Whatever that it is, Al, he has it. He has the ability to make big shots.
He had it in pretty much his entire NBA career. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham being joined now by Tim Bontemps, NBA writer for ESPN, covers the league about as well as anybody, has felt the pulse of the NBA after the tragic news of Kobe Bryant and eight others passing away in the helicopter crash yesterday in California. Tim, what's the league feeling today whenever you take a pulse of the NBA?
A lot of sadness, I would say. It's probably the obvious answer, but I think that's also the acceptable one, right? I mean, this is a guy, Kobe Bryant, who probably 80 to 90% of the players in the NBA, he was their idol growing up. You guys have Russell Westbrook and James Harden in Houston, both from L.A., both massive Kobe fans as kids. DeMar DeRozan down the road in San Antonio, massive NBA Kobe Bryant fan as a kid, built his whole game around him. International players like Luka Doncic and Bogdan Bogdanovic. I mean, those kind of guys. Kobe was the player around the world for a decade, probably, right? So really more than just about any player, I think, in the league today or even in the past, 10, 20 years, I think this hits home for a lot of people in a way I'm not sure anybody else's passing possibly could.
Tim, what do you think of how the NBA handled it, man? I know when it first happened, there were some people that may have, and of course, it's all and it's an emotional moment, but some people thinking that maybe the NBA should cancel all games that were played yesterday. I immediately was like, no, that Kobe would play. Kobe would lace them up and play even harder for a friend or a former NBA player, if they were to pass, Kobe would strap him up a little tighter and go a little bit harder. Man, what was your take on how the NBA handled it?
Well, that's certainly what Kobe would have done, and I also think the league handled it the right way. I don't think you could have canceled games because of something like this happening. I mean, it was obviously a very sad thing, but, I mean, look, this happened, 40 minutes, I think the news came out, before the Rockets-Nuggets game. Like, you can't – the toothpaste is out of the tube at that point, right? Like, you kind of just got to play. And, look, I think a lot of guys – you look at how yesterday went, a lot of guys really balled out for Kobe. You know, Pascal Siakam had 25 in the first quarter in that game in San Antonio. The Rockets played really well without James Harden. Dame had 50 last night in Portland to get a big win for them over the Pacers. You know, a lot of guys played hard and played well yesterday. And like you said, in terms of honoring Kobe, that's about the best thing they could have done. And, you know, it obviously wasn't a fun day. There were a lot of people who probably would rather have done anything but play after getting that kind of news. But I also think I think that was the only decision the league could make in that scenario. And I think that everybody handled it as best as they could.
I think the way that it all played out was actually tremendous. Like, I kind of got the appeal early on to cancel all the games. I thought it'd be cool if the NBA closed business for an icon of the basketball world. But then whenever you had the Spurs and the Raptors each taking the 24-second violation to give the respects to Kobe Bryant, Trae Young for wearing the number 8 jersey, I think that whenever we remember it 10, 15 years down the road, Tim, I think that we're going to look back and remember that day and look back at the things the NBA teams were doing and really remember it even better because of what NBA teams were doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was cool. And look, I mean, I think there's, you know, not to sound callous, but anytime something like this happens, there's kind of a rush to, you know, to say stuff like we all have to stop what we're doing, you know. And I think at the end of the day, like, things have to keep moving forward. And I think you're right. I think the way that, you know, the 24-second and 8-second violation stuff that teams did at the start of games, you know, the way Devin Booker and Trae took 24 shots and combined to score 81 points, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, given some of the main numbers in Kobe's career, right? So, yeah, I think the league handled it as well as they could. I think all the players and coaches involved and teams involved handled it as well as they could. And it was obviously a long day for a lot of people, but I think it was neat. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be plenty more stuff like that over the next really 3 weeks. I mean, I would guess until we get through the All-Star game in Chicago, I don't really think this is going anywhere. And, you know, there'll be a lot of tributes and time to memorialize Kobe and what he meant to the league and the sport. But I definitely think they did everything right yesterday.
Tim, the timing of this thing, man, right after LeBron passes him on the all-time scoring list, and then right before tomorrow's Clipper-Lakers game, I mean, the timing of it just – and I'm sure, look, as good as Kobe is and as big as the Lakers and LeBron are right now, I would guess that the timing would have always been in between two big moments like that, but – what do you think tomorrow's game, the Clippers and the Lakers, you know, what does that – set that scene for us, man. What does that look like? That's obviously going to be an emotional night for the city.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I was in Philly on Saturday for that game, Sixers-Lakers, and it was definitely surreal for me to go from everybody talking about Kobe on Saturday night and LeBron, you know, in essence giving a eulogy, really, with that 5 minutes of soliloquy he gave – kind of running down all the many, many, many ways that he and Kobe have crossed paths over the years, going back to when he was in high school and Kobe gave him shoes before a game against Melo in high school, right? Like, there's just there's so much history there. So for LeBron to pass him in Philly in Kobe's hometown, the way he did playing for his old team, for Kobe to, for his last tweet to be like to LeBron saying, congrats on that. You know, that obviously was a pretty wild turn of events. And yeah, look, tomorrow is going to be a really emotional day. You know, the Lakers home game, even though every Laker Clipper game is a Laker home game, for it to officially be a Laker home game. You know, I mentioned Russ and James and DeMar. Kawhi Leonard, I don't know how many people know this, is a enormous Kobe Bryant fan, was his number one idol growing up. Another guy whose game is modeled after Kobe in a lot of ways. You know, it was tough for him. You could tell after the game yesterday, a guy doesn't show a lot of emotion. I'm sure it's going to be hard for him. Paul George, another LA guy playing in that game. You know, and then obviously LeBron, who you could see he was emotional getting off the plane yesterday. And I'm sure, like, again, like, given their shared history for so long, I'm sure it's going to be tough for him. So I'm sure it'll be a really emotional game. I'm sure there'll be a million tributes to him. And, you know, and on top of that, that's a really big game for those two teams. The Lakers haven't beat the Clippers yet, lost the first two games. The Lakers have lost two of their last four. They probably need a win. You know, the Clippers have been a little up and down lately. They could use a win. So it both for on and off the court reasons, I think it's going to be a really, really emotional game, and it should be really fascinating to see how it plays out.
Tim Bontemps, NBA writer for ESPN, is our guest on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Tim, what do you think Kobe's lasting legacy will be? When people look back at Kobe, I mean, everybody idolizes him in their own way, whether it's kids, you know, throwing crumpled up paper into the trash can yelling Kobe, the right. Old timers looking at him as being, you know, a young kid whenever he came into the league at 17 and earned mm-hmm. their respect with his work ethic. What do you think his legacy is going to be, you know, in 10, 15 years?
I think it's going to be for the way he was the guy for this entire class of players in the league now. I'm 35 years old. Everybody from my age down, like I was at the end of the Jordan years, right? I think I was 13 or 14 when Jordan won his last title. For everybody after that, Kobe was the guy, right? Like he, and that's, look, that's like what, 90% of the NBA, right? Probably more than that. You know, guys like, look at guys like Trae Young and Jason Tatum. I mean, those guys are 21 years old and Kobe was their hero, right? So you go from 35 to 20, all those guys worship the ground Kobe walked on. And, I mean, to me, I think that's really what his legacy is going to be, as just for a generation of players, he was their Michael Jordan or their Bill Russell or their Will Chamberlain or their Larry Bird or Magic Johnson, right? Like he wasn't on the same level of player, frankly, as a lot of those guys. You know, he was a step below, you know, even guys like Hakeem and Tim Duncan and those guys, I don't think he was quite on their level, but considering he was from LA, and a lot of the stars in today's game are from LA, including both guys, obviously in your town. The fact that he played with such an indomitable spirit and played his whole career for the Lakers, the biggest franchise in the sport, and was such a larger than life character in so many ways. I just think that that's the thing I think that's going to really make his legacy last. I mean, his in-game exploits are obviously impressive, but to me, it's much more just the sheer impact he had on this many players and, you know, the kind of beacon that he set out there for all these guys, whether it's James or Russ or Kawhi or DeMar or LeBron or all these guys to chase after over their careers. I mean, I think that speaks to the level of impact he had on all these guys that he was the standard that they were all trying to catch.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us. Good stuff as always. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Tim Bontemps, NBA writer for ESPN, knows the league about as good as anybody.
JB, my man, puts it in perspective. When you think about how many superstars are in this league right now that grew up in the era of Kobe doing huge things in the NBA, five titles, but then also the guys that literally grew up in California on the West Coast in the shadows of Staples Center, to think how many great basketball players right now modeled their game after Kobe Bryant is awfully impressive. It's of course, when something like this happens, again, you put a magnifying glass on that player and you start thinking about everything that he was and everything that everybody that he affected. And I just didn't realize that many players in the NBA in today's game are in the prime of their years of their career were impacted so heavily by Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, he was an icon in the basketball world, especially for that generation that you're referring to. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. NBA Hall of Famer, one of the greatest 50 players of all time, Elvin Hayes, who played with Joe Bryant, will join us when we come back. Before we do that, Greg Popovich, who had tons of battles with Kobe Bryant, talked about losing Kobe Bryant yesterday.
Good game, tough loss, who cares? Most importantly, appreciate you all letting the locker room be tonight. Everybody's pretty emotional about the tragedy with Kobe, and all of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him as a player so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win. And even more importantly than that, we all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
I thought that was Greg Popovich putting it in a great way. You know, today's game, who cares? And then went on to say what he had to say about Kobe Bryant. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next, NBA Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
For the win, Kobe going up over Bell, fall away. Yes! 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 At the buzzer, he does it! Was there ever a doubt? Kobe wins it for the Lakers! They beat the Bucks in overtime, 107-106, and the best in the game, the best closer, finisher. He breaks the hearts of those in the Bradley Center tonight.
That was Kobe Bryant doing what he did to many teams, just breaking their heart, hitting that buzzer beater against the Bucks, something he did time after time. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's go to the lines now. Joining us, the NBA Hall of Famer, Elvin Hayes, one of the 50 greatest players to have ever played the game, also played with Joe Bryant, Kobe Bryant's father, in Houston in the 1982-83 season. Big E, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time as always. Elvin, what was your reaction whenever you first heard this news yesterday?
Well, it was, you know, it's devastating news. And you know every day people are dying. You see accidents happen all the time. But it never affects you like this one affects us because of the fact that I've known Kobe since he was a little bitty boy running around the summit and playing with his dad and he playing with my son. And then all of a sudden you hear something like this, it just hit boom down deep into you. And then for him to lose his little 13-year-old daughter and the other passengers on that flight lost their daughters and lost their husbands and wives. And so it was just a devastating event that happened.
Elvin, being inside the Fertitta Center with you yesterday, we were both finding out that news while the first half was still going on. And we had students coming up to us, you know, can you believe the news? Have you heard about what happened? Multiple students coming up to us. We saw tears in some of the eyes of fans at halftime. The gravity of this, it really makes you realize how big of an icon and a legend Kobe Bryant was in the basketball world.
Yes, it really just was shocking news as the students was coming up saying and giving us information on what had happened. But, you know, once again, he was an icon of the game of basketball. He was also, you know, a son to parents and a father to his kids and a husband to his wife. It's one of those things that, once again, you hate to see something like this happen. But, you know, every day, and we hold him so dear and so high, but every day this is happening to families somewhere in the world. And we just have to kind of pray for his family and the remaining members of his family, as also to the coach's family and the remaining member of his family. So this is a very difficult time. And, you know, he wasn't playing still. So, and basketball will still go on. They will have games tonight and tomorrow night, and they will continuously on. But, you know, people and family members will be hurting today and tomorrow and from now on.
Elvin, having spent so much time with Joe Bryant when Kobe was younger, at what point did you see, did you know that Kobe was going to be a little bit different? And could you, did his father have some of those same types of characteristics that we all witnessed from Kobe in his basketball career?
Well, I think that Kobe was a Hall of Famer, is one of the NBA 50 greatest. He was one of the greatest to play the game. his father, Jelly Bean, was you know, kind of a play kind of a guy. He was okay, but he wasn't a Kobe Bryant, and Joe was just a player on the 76ers team when they had a whole bunch of different attitudes on that basketball team. But to watch him as a young kid handle the ball and watch him grow up, and every summer and every year he would go to practice with the 76ers, and he would play against the guys. And people always say, well, he didn't go to college. He didn't get any experience. Well, he was getting experience against Julius Erving, World Be Free, all Bobby Jones. Also, it's just one of those things that he played against some of the best players, and he would do it in their practices. And so he learned a lesson way ahead of a lot of other players who didn't have that opportunity to participate in a 76ers practice with them after practice.
Being joined by Elvin Hayes, NBA Hall of Famer, who played with Joe Bryant, the father of Kobe Bryant, in the 82-83 season in Houston as a member of the Houston Rockets. And Elvin, you know, knowing Joe and then knowing Kobe whenever he was such a young kid running around the Summit, like you mentioned, watching his career play on, like you mentioned, he got great experience playing against some of former NBA legends. Didn't need college because he was going up against all of those greats. Watching his career play out from when he was a youngster to the prime of his career and then to the end of his career, just what were your thoughts on his career that he put together in the NBA?
Well, I tell you, Kobe was just one of the players that played this game of basketball that even as a player, you would say, hey, I like to pay to go and see this guy play. And it's very few players who played this game that you could say that about, that players themselves who played the professional game would say, hey, I will pay money to go into the arena to watch him play. And I think when you're looking at players like Michael Jordan, you're looking at players like maybe Bill Russell, some of the throwback guys, he just really climbed the ladder and he went up to the top of the ladder and with some great names and some great players. But I think one of the most important things that you can say about him, not only fans paid to go see Kobe play, but you have professional NBA all-star players would pay money to go see Kobe play.
Elvin, I know you go courtside to a bunch of these Rocket games. You've been doing it for a long time, and you watch
yes.
Kobe firsthand, and you saw the level of greatness that he had.
Yes.
I'm watching this video right now on Twitter where he went to the free throw line and hit those two free throws after blowing his Achilles. Clint's been talking about the competitiveness that he's had and how it's
true.
Unmatched and unparalleled, and I also think the toughness that Kobe Bryant had was something to behold as well. Can you speak to just the competitive level he had compared to other NBA players and also that toughness?
That came because Kobe is a winner, and Kobe refused to leave the court and leave something on the court. He would not walk off the court and felt that he had left something on the court. That's why Kobe Bryant would go to that free throw line and bang, bang, because he did not want to leave the court and leave anything on it. He was one of those great, great players that when he challenged you and when you went up against him, you knew that you had to be at your apex game. And even at a normal player's apex game, it really wasn't enough to stop Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was head and shoulders against most of the players that he played against. And you knew whenever you walked out on that court against him, you had, as they call him, Mambo. Because he would strike you, and no one knew when or how.
What do you think? He was obviously post-career, man, and he was doing, I think, big things in the business world and in the filmmaking world. And I've heard a lot of people speak about, obviously, his young daughter was a really good basketball player and what he, possibly could have done for – the sport of women's basketball, obviously from from youth leagues all the way up to the WNBA. What do you think that he had in mind there? What kind of impact could he have made there?
Well, I think that you know, he was a father. He was a loving, caring father and a loving lover of the game of basketball. And I think his daughter had somehow, you know, taken on this greatness, this like for the game and the love for the game that her father had. And I think that she would have been a dynamic player. She would have made imprints where no players, you have had so many great women basketball players in that game, but I think she, that's why I think the world was cheated and lost a great opportunity to see a young woman who would have been like Kobe Bryant, shooting the shots Kobe shot, drive to the basket, doing things that we have not seen a woman athlete do on the basketball court. But now that has been cut short. But I think Kobe would have taken, with his help, I think his daughter in the women basketball throughout this country would have really taken a giant leap in popularity and in watching, and for people to really want to watch that game and fill the arenas. Because if he had been a part of it, as you see in his death, many places have been just packed and showing love to Kobe as they would have shown love to his daughter.
Elvin Hayes joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Elvin, can we switch gears a little bit with you, man, and talk some of these Rockets?
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, they're struggling right now, obviously, but Harden's out, and I think Westbrook's even out tonight. They got to go to Utah. Lost a tough game last night, man. But what, you know, where's your thoughts at with this Rockets team and kind of where they sit in the West that is an obvious monster right now?
Well, the Rockets is it's a different kind of team this year. Yeah, I think having Eric Gordon back have really helped the scoring power. And Mike L'Amour, he's scoring some. House is scoring some. And Rivers is scoring. But really, with James Harden out, you're losing. You're talking about 36 points a game. You're losing that. But still, I think that this is a team that is adjusting. This team is still adjusting. This team is trying to find players to complement each other and to put on the court when they can win, though they can win some basketball games. But this is a heck of a basketball team. You got a really super center in Capel. And you got, you know, good forwards and Tucker. And so you got players, but I think these players need to learn how to complement each other, because by the time, you know, playoffs come around, the All-Star break come, I think that they will begin to find each other where they go out every night and they will play great, because this is a lot of talent on this basketball team. And it's just going to look like it's taking time to bring it all together. And this happened with teams. I remember when I was in Washington, we had four all-star players, and we brought Bob Dandridge in, and which was the fifth all-star player. And it was one of those things, we were still kind of down, and we would win and we would lose. But eventually, by the time we had a meeting once, Bobby and I, where we said, hey, look, I like the basketball, you like the basketball, but in order for me and you to feel comfortable and for us to win, we need to share and help each other. You need to set a pick for me, I set them for you. And I think that eventually Westbrook, I know James and him are very good friends, but eventually they're going to have a sit-down meeting where they are going to find out, hey, how the best way to share this basketball. Also, how do we get all of our teammates involved in this, and where we are winning, and want to do the thing that both of those guys want to do, and that is win an NBA championship.
Elvin, good stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you here in the next week or two.
My pleasure. You guys be careful.
That's Elvin Hayes, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, named to the NBA all-time 50 greatest players list. Played with Joe Bryant. Had some good stories when Kobe Bryant was a kid running around the floors in the Summit. That was pretty cool to hear from the Big E. Also got into the Rockets a little bit. Rockets will be in action today, playing the second leg of a back-to-back. It doesn't look like James Harden will play. Interested to see if Russell Westbrook plays after playing yesterday. Hadn't been playing back-to-backs, but it's a team that didn't get the win yesterday. Today looks like it's going to be a little rough, but they are playing better basketball, and I think it's because Russell Westbrook taking some less three
pointers. Yeah, look, I'd be careful with the better basketball thing. I mean, they beat Denver at home with a team that was beaten up, and you lose last night or yesterday was one of those games where was it a deal breaker? No, but it was a game that meant something. I mean, the winner, you earn the
move up a spot in the
seating? No, you don't move up. The tiebreaker. Good gosh, my mind went blank. We've been it's not hard to do though, by the way. But yeah, that team owns the tiebreaker. Now Denver owns the tiebreaker, and that was a game that I think the Rockets, they were right there in the thick of things, and then just couldn't hit shots down the stretch. I mean, you talk about guys. Eric, we said before that the stir that straws the drink is Eric Gordon. When he's shooting the ball well, things tend to fall into place. And obviously Harden went off. Harden was doing his thing, but down the stretch they turned the basketball over a couple of times. Stepped on the out of bounds line once. Once got called for stepping on the out of bounds line. He really didn't, but the ref saw it. Turned it over. The next thing you know, Denver was able to stretch that thing out, and the Rockets weren't able to get back into the game. I mean, but you're talking about a game that, as the schedule unfolds, middle of the season, every conversation I have with my crew back home, they're like, relax, it's the middle of the season, it's a long basketball season. Well, we're at that point in the season, man, where games, they mean tiebreakers. You know, who holds the tiebreaker in the West? And the reality is I think as you look at the West in the NBA, a tiebreaker versus Denver could end up being pretty important.
Yeah.
I don't know that a tiebreaker versus LA is going to mean anything to the Rockets towards the end of the year, but you get to those teams that are 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds in the West, that tiebreaker could mean something. So that's a game that you would have loved to have seen the Rockets win. Obviously, you can sit around and say, well, they were shorthanded. Nah, man, they were right in the thick of things, and this is a dangerous basketball team with Westbrook handling the rock as much as he can. There is the one beautiful thing about the game, there's no off switch.
Right.
Like, you know, I think the style of play, JB, with the Rockets when Harden's on the floor is his style, that ISO, that whole, it allows teams to catch their breath. Westbrook, if a team checks up to catch their breath, he's at the rack. He's at the rack, partner. So it's one of the things where you saw a little different style of ball that I think some people will appreciate. But when it's all said and done, it wasn't enough to get a W. And who knows what's going to happen tonight, because I believe they're without Westbrook and Harden, and they're at Utah. That could be a tough one.
Yeah, going back to Utah, a little salty crowd there in Salt Lake City. We'll see how it goes for the Rockets tonight.
I see what you did there.
Second leg of a back-to-back, considered to be the toughest back-to-back in all of the NBA. Let's hear from Doc Rivers, the coach of the Clippers. He got asked the question about Kobe Bryant yesterday. It was right before the game whenever Doc Rivers was talking, and Doc recalled some moments of Kobe Bryant who passed away yesterday.
You know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent, you know. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that that very few athletes can ever have, you know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans, you know. It's funny, I was getting to know him more since he retired, you know. This is a tough one.
And a tough day around the league yesterday in the NBA after the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi Bryant, and 7 others on a helicopter crash in California. Coming up next, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher will join us, tell us some stories about Kobe Bryant, how the league is reacting, and how Kobe's legacy will be remembered. That's next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.